the science of reading approach really is about equity, because the students who are going to have a more difficult time learning how to read are the ones that are going to be most disadvantaged by not using the science of reading approach.
In 2022, the national average reading score at both fourth and eighth grade decreased by 3 points compared to 2019. Literacy curriculum is under the microscope, and the science of reading has become a hot topic of conversation in school districts across the country. For this episode, I called on our own data scientist, Dr. Eva Dundas, to ask her about some misconceptions around science of reading. Each week this month, we are inviting a guest for a short conversation, diving into misunderstandings around hot topics and tough questions in education. Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team. Let's dive in.
Well, today we welcome back Dr. Eva Dundas, who is our developmental cognitive psychologist here at BRM and our chief academic officer. And she is here to talk about science of reading. I know you have lots of thoughts. I'm excited to dive in. So first of all, what's a big misunderstanding about science of reading? And because I've heard that it's a lot of people feel like it holds educators back from really supporting students. So let's just start there.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here and talk about my favorite topic. I think biggest misconception, often I think you hear people thinking of the science of reading as a cold approach to teaching reading, and that it removes the joy out of teaching and reading. When I think maybe that comes from the idea of it being a systematic and structured process. And so we think of systematic things and structures maybe as being a bit more bleak and not as engaging or fun, but that's totally not the case. It really is just about the idea of we have a path for how we're thinking about the learning process when it comes to reading. And so it's not that it needs to be this, you know, rigid and cold teaching practice. It's more about it being a structured process that uses engaging content in being able to teach kids how to read, but to do it in a way that we know the brain is really wired for learning how to read.
Mm. Well, and I think that like the cold, it's, as a middle school teacher, I think I view it as cold because, like, you know, to go from, you know, sitting around and reading a book and really like diving into this deep topic and themes, and like, but really, if you've done all the work before, kids really then get to enjoy reading because it's not a struggle, because that's the hardest part is
Absolutely.
When they get to middle school or older grades and they're struggling with reading. Then it feels cold. Then it feels like you're taking away that enjoyable part because they aren't enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, along you know structured literacy programs, you know, reading comprehension is the goal, and so like we're getting there. But it's really about starting with the basics and the foundations to be able to set kids up for success. Because you're exactly right. What a horrible way to hate reading if you're not actually able to read. Like if you want kids to love reading, let's try and make it easier for them to learn how to do that. Mm,
yeah. But I don't know if you've ever like sat down and read a book with like a beginner reader, like a kindergartner or a first grader. And I had kids that I used to babysit, and they were like, I babysat them from when they were like really little. And then they started to read, and I'd read them a bedtime story, but they're like, no, I'll read it. And I like the joy that experience is like, oh good. They're getting it. It's so fun.
It's fun now to, you know, also have, you know, friends whose kids are going through that. And it's just like eye opening when they're like, wow, they, are reading words that they have no idea what they mean because they know how to sound it out. And it's just like an easy, easy process for them to pick up challenging material once they understand those basics.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's one thing that you wish you could change about the way schools teach reading?
Well, I would ban all practices that aren't followed by the science of reading. You know, balanced literacy, you know, it's not that it's a bad way to teach reading. It's just not going to work for all students, and it's not going to work for the students that need it the most. And so if we can, you know, get education practice to the point where we're not introducing reading with a balanced literacy approach, and we're getting rid of kind of these cueing strategies and really focusing on solid core, you know, phonemic awareness and phonics foundation before getting into, you know, thinking about reading comprehension and in that way, I think would really benefit a lot of students.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it'll be very interesting to see sort of like this pendulum swing from, you know, the more prominent balanced literacy to now sort of the discussion of science of reading is huge in a lot of schools, and a lot of schools are reexamining how their curriculum is that they're using, thankfully, you know, to see if that, how that will affect readers in the years to come.
It's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be a process. And, you know, I think you and I have talked about this, and we can't just throw it at teachers. There needs to be support in figuring out how to make this shift, because I think as recently as 2019, it was still around like 75% of approaches were balanced literacy. And so really trying to help educators make that shift and adopt new curriculum and to be able to, you know, deliver with fidelity and really understand the content and resources that they're using is going to be something that leadership really needs to help support with.
Well, and it's hard because school districts have invested money into that curriculum. And so it's like, you know, that's a hard ask in some ways. You know, hopefully it'll slowly start to turn in the other direction. So science of reading isn't new because it's been around. But what should educators and the people listening, what should they know about how it impacts instruction and how it should influence the curriculum moving forward?
I think really trying to understand that the science of reading approach really is about equity, because the students who are going to have a more difficult time learning how to read are the ones that are going to be most disadvantaged by not using the science of reading approach. Students who have parents that might not speak English, and so they're not getting that additional reading support in English at home. There's, you know, so much, you know, information that we know around how the brain is really wiring up for those early literacy skills. And there's a window for that. And if, you know, you get past that window without kind of really building that, those connections in the brain, it's just going to be so much harder for older children's or then even adults to be able to learn how to read in an effective way. Mm-hmm. And so really thinking about this as, you know, yes, most kids are going to learn how to read if you don't use a science of reading approach, but the kids who really need additional support are going to struggle the most. And it's really just going to kind of further inequities that we have in education.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I can imagine like the students, because they say, you know, sort of the encouragement to read to young children and stuff is like building their amount of words that they're exposed to. Yeah. And so like if students or if children don't get that exposure by a certain age, and there are some children that don't because of different factors in their life or just access to books or whatever it may be, that also is a gap that they go into kindergarten with.
And I think that's a great example, and like also highlighted by, we talked about, you know, kids reading out words that they don't know, but they're able to sound them out and then figure out meaning because they can sound out that word. But if they don't have that vocabulary and they're using, you know, cueing strategies to figure out what a word is, they're not going to be able to get it. And so really helping to think of that as like also a gateway to helping with building vocabulary and catching up with disparities that you might see in that area as well.
I know that there's so much more that we could talk about with science of reading. Any other nuggets that you feel like educators or leaders should consider as they sort of have these conversations with their teams and sort of even maybe decide on new curriculum?
To really explore what's out there, look at, you know, there are bunches of, you know, hubs of evidence-based resources that are vetting these materials. But to look, really look at the foundation of the research that's underneath it. And so, you know, maybe, you know, you could have a balanced literacy program that says it's effective, but then it's like, you really look at it and it's like, it might be effective for a very narrow grade window of students. And you're not going to see those like long-term effects of improvements in reading. And so really trying to look at what has sustained improvement and really the ones that we know are the ones that are grounded in science of reading principles.
Mm-hmm. Any particular ones that you endorse as really positive ones? I don't know if you can do that.
I don't know if we can do that, but sure. Lexia is fantastic. They really have a strong foundation in thinking about, you know, structured literacy approaches. Amira is one that we've been partnering with a lot and thinking about, you know, our partnership there with them in Chicago Public Schools. So we've been trying to integrate our data with them, which has been really, really helpful for those teachers to see. They also are strong science of reading. Early Bird is new on the scene. That's one. They're, you know, they're providing dyslexia screener and support. So they're, I think, a small and quickly growing company. But those are some of the big ones that come to mind.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but I was just curious. Well, thank you so much for chatting about this. And I'm sure we'll have you back on to talk more about just like more in depth about the science of reading. Because I do think that there's a lot of educators out there that they want to know more. And that's part of supporting them is to really have a deep understanding about it. But thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear all our future episodes. As well, if you're enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and let us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn @branchingminds.